Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Well, I'm all excited about today. I've been excited this whole weekend. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year because it's full of food. No, it's because it's full of Thanksgiving. It's full of saying, God, thanks. God, thanks. Thank you. Thank you. I was a little overwhelmed as my family came to pray this morning. God, thanks. I'm overwhelmed every Sunday as I stand beside two of my grandkids and listening to Brooklyn this morning. Waymaker, man, she was wailing and singing. It was good. It was just a good, it's been a good morning. I hope it don't end bad with the sermon. So, are y'all ready to receive the word today? I believe that you are. I know that everybody's ate a lot, so it'll be difficult to keep everybody awake, but if you do your part, I'll do mine. How about that? I'm excited to continue on with what God started last week, talking about the amazing grace of God and how to live in and from His amazing grace. So many of God's people have just lost the amazing part of grace. I mean, we've sang that our whole life, amazing grace. In fact, most people have heard the song and know at least the little, but we know how it goes, or you hear it and you can think, okay, I know that song. Where have I heard that before? And if you've ever been in church any length of time or been around somebody who was, you've probably heard the song Amazing Grace. But we don't understand what's available oftentimes through His grace. Now, for those of us that are saved, we got grace on the initial part. We understand that it took grace to get saved. I mean, we started our race as a Christian, the beginning of our race, in grace. And we looked to nothing but Jesus to get us saved. We all knew that. I mean, there was nothing we could find that was going to save us. We came to a place of realizing that there's nothing that I can do in and of myself or anybody else to get me saved. It's just a place where I come to realization that I'm in need of what God did that I couldn't. And here's the thing. Many of us understand that when we got saved, we were coming from a worse position than we'd ever been in our whole life or that we ever would be in. And yet we trusted God's amazing grace to perform the biggest miracle that we'll ever experience when we got saved. Come on, the biggest miracle that you'll ever experience was the day you gave your heart and life to Jesus. It's the biggest miracle ever. But what amazes me is how we begin life in the kingdom by accessing, getting His grace implemented into our life. Yet as soon as the Christian life begins, challenges come. And unfortunately, religion kicks in. Situations. And what we do as God's people is we jump from accepting God's marvelous, wonderful, amazing grace right back into performance-based Christianity. There was nothing we could have done, performed, if you will, to implement God's grace as salvation took place. Nothing you did, nothing in and of yourself, nothing you could do is only what God did. But the second we get saved, when situations come up, we jump right back into trying to perform to implement grace back into our life. And we live weary. We live with burdens. We lose rest. Come on, we lose peace. And we forget how to access the very grace that saved us in the first place. Now, I believe the reason is because we don't know how to implement grace past just getting saved. Most Christians, we just don't know how. We don't know how to labor and to find rest, to labor correctly, to find rest, to labor correctly and then to find rest. That's only available in Jesus, not by your performance. This ought to be a message everybody goes, man, I like this, because it has nothing to do with what we could do. We have to learn to access grace. Matthew 11. I'm talking today the kingdom of God's amazing grace. We've been talking about the kingdom of God all year. Matthew 11, verse 28 will be on the screen. If you have your Bible, you can read along with your Bible or on the screen or on your device. Then Jesus said, here's Jesus' words. It's in red letters, not on the screen, but in your Bible. If you have one of them red letter Bibles, this is Jesus talking. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus said, my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. There is a place in and with Jesus that in his grace will allow us to access the kingdom of God and life in the kingdom in a way we never have. Yeah, I understand you got grace to get saved, but you got to get grace to live in this world. It's just important. If you didn't hear last week's sermon, I want to encourage you to pay attention and maybe hear a little bit today, but maybe even go back and study a little deeper into some of what I started all this with. I'm concerned about how the church handled the COVID-19 pandemic. I really am. If we can't look back and figure out what we should have done different or where we missed it, how we missed God's wonderful grace in the pandemic, I promise you COVID-19 was just a dress rehearsal, and I want you to know the church as a whole didn't do real well. Now, I was talking to Rob Henson this week, and I've got to go on record because he made it very clear to me, not a correction but an encouragement, that there was a lot of people who didn't walk in fear right out of this church. When the pandemic hit, fear didn't grab them. They weren't walking in. They weren't embracing fear. And I praise God we had a church full of people who didn't live in stress and didn't live in worry and didn't live in fear through the whole pandemic. And I love that. Now, though, what I want you to know is, are we still doing that? Are we growing more and more? Are we getting to a place where we did pass the dress rehearsal, but what's on the horizon are we getting ready to face with the same grace? And so I want to talk about this on the front end. Praise God. I think we talked a little bit about it on the front end of the pandemic, and we had some people that were highly successful going through that thing. Now, as the church in our response to what happened, I want you to know I know a lot of churches across the country and the pastors of them that were kind of throwing their hands up in the air and going, wait a minute here. How are we supposed to respond to what the government's throwing at us? How are we supposed to respond when some of my people are being told, if you don't do this, this, and this, you're fired? And we were answering that question right here. I remember talking to several of you. I mean, I'm looking across and I'm seeing faces. I'm not calling out your names. But I remember either hearing your story or talking to you personally about your story. Pastor, what are we going to do? What do you think? What do we need to do? What do we need to do? And what I'm telling you is all we could come back to was what we know that we know that we know, and that's God. And say, okay, God, I need your hand in this. Well, you can say that and you can say that, but what do? Do you stand up to the point of getting fired? Or do you say, no, I'm not doing it, or I submit to whatever you... I just want you to know, I didn't have the answer of what you were to do. I just had the answer of who had the answer. And that's always God and his amazing grace will see you through. And as we look back and we look forward, we've got to know that a greater measure of that grace is available. Now, we think that there's not a greater measure because we understand the definition of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That means that it can't be measured. It can't be obtained. It's just unmerited. It has no merit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So I just want to go on record. The Bible says there's more grace available. I mean, that's scripture. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Well, you got enough to get saved. What I'm telling you is there's more available for what's on the horizon. And I want to prepare God's people for what's coming. Now, the end of this age is coming. And if you're not saved, that's the first part of preparation that you got to have. So if you're not saved this morning, don't leave this place without coming and talking to me, one of our prayer team, one of our staff, somebody that knows Jesus, and just say, hey, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. That's the most important. But I believe today I'm talking to a lot of people who've already made a decision that they wanted to accept God's amazing grace and be saved. So for those of you that have made that decision, let me just talk to you that there's three ways from Matthew 11, 28 that allow us to flow daily and gain more and more grace. And by doing these things, you're able to live in the kingdom of God. Here they are. He said in Matthew 11, come to me. Come to me. He also said, take my yoke upon you. And then he said, let Jesus teach you. Let me teach you. That's what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. You're carrying heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. You know, this is so important. Jesus didn't say, come to this, and I'll give you rest. He said, come to me. This is a really, really big point. No other the greatest of books, religion, the best that the world may have to offer on what will provide rest for you, Jesus didn't say, check this out. If you'll do this, if you'll do this performance-based religion, you'll get rest. If I'll just start praying every day, if I'll get in my Bible every day, if I'll just do this every... No, he said, come to me. Not come to this. And we've got a bunch of people who's trying to come to a whole bunch of different things so that they can get rest for their soul. And it ain't ever going to happen until you come to Jesus. The second thing he says, take my yoke upon you, Matthew 11, 29. We are yoked to everything in this world. We're yoked to a diet. That's all we're going to live by. Especially starting Monday. Come on. On Monday, I'm going to yoke myself up to this diet plan. And I'm not saying that some of y'all, including me, don't need to. Oh, that's offensive. Well, the shoe fits. Put her on. I'm just saying what I'm telling you is we yoke up to things, and what Jesus is saying, come to me and yoke up to me. Do it my way. Be a part of what I'm doing. But we're so led by our flesh and led by our emotions, and we have a yoke or a loyalty so much to our flesh that it's hard to yoke up to Jesus. But Jesus said, yoke up to me. Number three, Jesus said, let me teach you. In the King James Version, he says, learn from me. That from can be interchanged with of. Learn of me. Learn from me. Learn from me. Matthew 11, 29, let me teach you. I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Life comes eternally by you knowing him. Life comes eternally by you knowing him. Everybody gets that. A lot of us got saved because we saw the film where somebody got their head cut off with a guillotine, and I'm like, I better know Jesus before they kill me. You better know Jesus before you die is the point. And that film scared us into Christianity. It scared, I don't know, maybe I'm too old and none of you ever watched that film, but. And so we got to a place where we thought, okay, I got to get saved now because I don't have to go to hell, so I'm going to accept his amazing grace and I'm going to get saved. And we come to know him eternally, And so then we go to church, and for years, all we do is sing songs about heaven and going through this dreary world that we have a bunch of burdens and yokes upon us. And Jesus said, listen, I'm here for you right now in this world. And heaven's going to be great, but that's not the only thing that you can access my grace to get. Well, this is good. See, the grace of God is available for heaven one day. And heaven's going to be sweet. It's going to be awesome. But you don't have to live right now here on this earth without His grace. His grace was good enough to get you to heaven. It ought to be good enough to give you some power and victory here on earth. Now, I don't want to talk today about the theology of grace. I've already given you the unmerited favor. I understand. But we got to answer two big questions. Number one, what is grace? And number two, where is grace? What is grace and where is grace? We understood and we talk a little bit about what is grace. It's unmerited favor. Now, that's a theological definition. But basically, when we say favor is something that we cannot merit, so we have God's favor. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We get all of that. But how more of something can be given when it's unmerited? So that's a portion of the definition, but it's not the fullness of the definition. It's a portion of it. How can more of something be given if it's already unmerited? See, my level of grace in practicality is directly related to how much I learn of Him. It can be multiplied to you and I as we learn more and more. The problem is, most people only learn enough about Jesus to get saved. But then that stops. And then we don't spend time learning more and more, so we don't understand because we're not learning. And when you don't learn, you don't understand. See, when you need to know something about something, you have to learn how and what to do. And the more you learn of it, the more you get the success of the knowledge. I know we got a bunch of wannabe mechanics in here, and then we got two or three that are really good. I look back at Greg Lamore. And I'm not talking about him right now. He's very good at what he does. And he has helped several in this church because of his mechanic skills. Well, this week I was going to change the oil on my differential on my Ranger, which was overdue. And so I went in there and I put an 8mm hex wrench in like it called for. And I tried to turn it and it would not turn. I did everything in my power to turn this thing. It wouldn't turn. And I turned it and I did it. Finally, I got that wisdom of what they call a breaker bar. You know, you put a little bar on to give you a little more leverage. And so I put that thing in there and I got you now, buddy. You ain't gonna go. I've learned. And when I pushed it, I got it. And then I looked up and realized I stripped. Well, this is not a good thing. I've got to get this oil changed, and now I've stripped the bolt that goes in, and now I got to get this out, and I can't reach it. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? I mean, now I'm really in trouble. And so I'm thinking, well, I do have a trailer, and I know Greg. I know a bunch of mechanics. I know people who know what to do. But I also know that I can learn. And so you know what I did? I got on YouTube. See, I knew where my help would come from in that situation. And it wasn't in me anywhere. It was going to be from outside of me. But it was going to be imparted into me so that I could get the blessing of the knowledge. You might think that's the dumbest story. Yeah, it just came to me on the fly. So I got on YouTube, and the rest of the story is they didn't help me at all. I tried, if you get on there and you try to find out, you can try this at home. It's kind of fun. I got on there. There's one video that shows five ways to get an 8mm hex out. None of those worked. Then I tried one that said there's 10 ways, and I watched that video, which was 12 minutes long, and I wasted about half an hour trying to figure out how to get a bolt out of it. Finally, I went to Facebook, and I got on a Ranger forum and found out there's a whole bunch of people out there that's had the same problem. And so I listened to one of them, and I went and implemented what they said, and next thing you know, that bolt's gone, baby! Woo! I was way more excited about that than I needed to be. But there was a thrill because I got the blessing of getting that bolt out. And then no one in the country has one, but praise God, you got Amazon now. So we order one and we get, this is a long story. Some of y'all going, this is ridiculous. Well, I'm just trying to keep you awake. Here's what happens. We have to get to a place where we understand that something's available that you don't have if you'll get to a place of learning. See, I want to learn how to get that. And too oftentimes, we're going to church just to do something that might be the right thing to do, but we're not learning of Him, we're not learning from Him, we're not accessing Him, and we're coming to church, we're not coming to Him, we're not learning of Him, we're not yoked up with Him, we're going to leave church and do whatever we want, we're going to go whatever we want to do this week, there's no genre, no anything, we just, wherever we end up, that's where we end up, and we're not doing what God said we've got to do to get His grace implemented into our life. Grace makes you who you are in the kingdom. It makes you who you are. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what Paul said. By the grace of God, I'm a pastor. I can tell you, I have no qualifications in and of myself to be a pastor. But I'm qualified because I am who I am by the grace of God. This whole worship team, no qualifications. Well, wait, they studied, they did this, they performed. Yeah, but all of that was because the grace of God powered them. And it was through the grace of God, nothing in and of themselves, that God allowed them to be used if they so choose. And so they learned that I can do that. You know, a lot of young people are very talented musically and they say, no, I'll never do that. Never do that. Well, you're not going to allow yourself to be used. It's the grace of God that gave you who you are and what you are. And so the more you learn about it, the more grace can be. Are you getting this? The more grace that can be implemented. When you understand the grace to be and the grace to do, His grace is only why I am who I am. So understanding the grace to be is given so you are who you are in the kingdom. And you're not just coming to church to warm a seat. You're coming to church because God has a call on your life for the... Now, I don't know what that is, but I can sit there and start thinking about, and the more I know about you, the more you start revealing who you are by the grace of God. The more you start going, man, you are so talented in that area. You're so gifted. God has bestowed upon you the ability to smile and hug. Some of y'all are horrible huggers and smilers. And you don't need to be on the welcome team. But some of y'all are, I'm talking about, I can't wait to come say hi to you because you make me feel so special. You know people like that. And I can't. There are other people that, okay, they'll pray for me, but I'm kind of scared to say something to them. But man, when they start praying, the Holy Spirit, woo. Prayer warrior right there. See, there are just giftings that God's placed in the body of Christ. Do you know that there are a lot of young people that like to go to camp, but the funds just aren't really available for them to go? And we have people in this church that hear about that, and they just say, hey. In fact, we got a whole list of them that Chapman and Hannah have that when they have a young person that can't go, they just go talk to any of those people, and they just say, be happy to take care of them. And you know who you are. If you go, I'd like to be one of those, go talk to Chapman and Hannah and say, hey, I'll help with that. See, there are people that are gifted in a way that others may not be, and they're in a season of life that, praise God, since my kids left the house, I got more money than I've ever had in my whole life. See, that's just what happens. Come on, Keith, you know what I'm talking about. They show back up every once in a while, and you just say, I hate it for you, I'm sorry. His grace has made you who you are. Are you hearing that? But His grace also equips you to do. So we've got to understand the grace to be and the grace to do. His grace is the only reason that you can do anything in the kingdom of God. You come to Jesus, you stay yoked to Jesus, and you learn of Jesus. People will take God's grace to get saved, and then they take it back over, and they don't implement the grace anymore. You've got to get that point, because it's the biggest point of anything that I'll say in this whole series. I am what I am by God's grace. But there is also God's grace that gives me power to be something and to do something with who I am. We want to learn how to be a new creation and do the works of the King. I want to answer the question, where is grace? Where is grace? Where is grace? And some of you right now are formulating in your mind that answer. Well, let's go to Scripture. We have here in this Scripture, in 2 Timothy, Paul speaking to a son in the faith. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So where is grace? The grace is in Christ. It's in Jesus. It's not in our doctrines. It's not in our teaching. It's not in the church. It's in Jesus. That's why if you want grace to be and grace to do, you got to stay connected. You got to stay yoked, and you got to learn from Jesus. You got to come to him. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Are you seeing this? Jesus is the embodiment, if you will, of grace and truth. You cannot have grace to be or grace to do independent of a relationship with Jesus. You have people that may know some things about the Bible, but they have no victory in their lives. Come on, everybody works with one of these guys. They know something about the Bible, but they don't have any victory going on in their life. And so what they do is they argue with you about something the Bible says while living in no victory. See, they think they know about the Bible. They've studied the Bible. They may even quote some scripture. Well, what does it mean? I love these arguments. Well, what does it mean when the Bible says this if you say it says this? And they want to bring up controversy, and that's all they want to do. Come on, anybody testify they got somebody that, yeah. And they have it in their own families. And they're frustrated because they don't have victory and you do, so they want to argue you out of your victory. They just can't really be overcome. They're not implementing any grace to be, no grace in their life to do, all that God's called them to do, because they don't know where grace is. But they've studied the Word. They think it's coming to church, and maybe that person isn't at your work. Maybe it's in church. Now, I haven't got any stories on any of y'all right now. So if you think I'm stepping on your toes, I don't know anything, and no one comes to mind when I'm talking about this. But grace is not given by you coming to church. And there are people that come to church and have no grace, and we're frustrated with them because they came to church, but yet they operate in no grace. They're frustrated all the time. They're mad about what seat somebody's sitting in. That's my seat. Well, set your beloved somewhere else. I don't know what are you talking? That's my seat. I can't believe they came in today, thought they just owned the place. It's not as big a deal as they make it, but the person who's making it a big deal, you know real quick, is not implementing God's grace. In fact, they're pretty frustrated. They're mad. Someone acts crazy at church. You know what? I've seen it, and it happens. And the sad thing is, it'll happen again. People won't connect in church because no one knows how to operate in God's grace, and we're not getting what we want. See, we don't understand the grace to be and the grace to do, because we're looking at one person's life. 2 Timothy, implement some grace there, Kenneth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I can say that because my grandson. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men." Now, for those of you that don't want to get hung up on this, I'm going to just teach right there for 2 seconds. Faithful men means male and female in the concordance, if you look it up. So it's not just man only. This applies to male and female. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, the things you have heard and you have seen in me, Paul says, I've modeled it. And Paul's telling Timothy, you need to know that I've modeled these things. The things you've heard and seen in faithful men, you commit these things to faithful men who then will be able to teach. And here's the thing. Where is grace? Jesus connects with us. He understands us. And then he says in Hebrews 4, I'm moving quickly, but y'all are following here. Hebrews 4, this is awesome. I got to get you pumped up for what you're getting ready to hear, because this will make a change in your life. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Everyone say, find grace. In time of need. Aren't you glad it didn't say come boldly to the throne of law? That have already been testified today. I'm always amazed at what God does. Go read, what was it, Leviticus 20? Aren't you glad it didn't say come boldly to the throne of law? Go read Leviticus 20 if God tells you. I'll just give you a quick rundown. There's three verses I've been taught this morning that have to do with hearing and receiving from God. And the rest of it is stuff that you'll go, oh my goodness. Where is grace? It's in Jesus. Why does it say the throne of grace? Who is sitting on the throne in the kingdom of God? Who is sitting on the throne in the kingdom of God? It's Jesus. And what God tells you here is so really, really important. You go to the throne of grace. You go to the throne. And who's sitting on the throne is Jesus. Come boldly so that you can obtain, so you can get mercy, and you can find grace. When do you do that? Put that scripture back up. Look at the verse, at the very last of it. When do you do that? In time of need. My mind is getting way more excited than your face is. So obviously I'm not doing a good job of explaining this totally, because what happens here, it reveals the mystery of when you find grace. Grace to do. Grace can't be earned. It can't be deserved. It has to be found. Whoa! This was revelation for me. It wasn't new to God, because he planned it very point blank in Scripture. You have to go to a throne if you're going to come to Jesus, if you're going to be yoked to Jesus. Where will you be? You'll be in his kingdom at his throne. And you will find grace when? When you're in need of it. See, you're in need of not going to hell. You're in need of going to heaven, so you got saved. Maybe you're in need of, I got to have a different plan for my life, because this one's just not working. And you go to Jesus. What'd you go to? You went to his kingdom. You went to his throne. And what'd you get? You got grace. You went and found it. You went and found it. This is so, so big. And when did you do it? When you realized that you were in need of it. Come on, there came a point where you realized, I'm in need of salvation. And when you realize that, you had to go and get the grace that was available for you to get saved. I hope I'm preaching to somebody this morning. See, you got that understanding, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, grace can't be stored up. It can be obtained when you realize you're in need of it. I'm getting way too hyper. You get it when it is needed, and you get it because you seek him. Our whole vision this year, seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're in need of the kingdom of God. You're in need of the throne of God. And you're in need of who sits on the throne. And your need of what's available from the throne is going to get blessed in your... In his manna, if you feed on him, you'll find grace when you're in need of it. You'll find grace when you're in need of it. I only find grace when I'm hurting. I only find it when I'm confused. I only find it when I am weak. I find it when I'm in need of it. What I'm telling you, church, grace is found in a time of need. And a lot of people will come up and they'll come up to get prayer. They'll get this. And what I'm telling you is I'm all grateful for prayer, but they're accessing the one that's going to give it. But you have to access it. You can't leave that to just the prayer warriors. Now, there are times that somebody prays over you, something supernatural happens. I understand that. I don't understand it. God just shows up and does something. But I'm telling you, when you're in need of God to move because you're hurting, you're confused, you're weak, that's when you're in need of the grace of God, and it can be found and it will be found when you know how to access him in time of need. Not just when I'm feeling good. You don't need grace when you're feeling good. It's bam, right when you're middle of fire and darts and it's horrible. I'm in need of grace right now. I needed some power. I need to find grace. Why is it at a throne? Because it's at the head of the kingdom. And we got God's people not living in the kingdom of God. Yeah, they were there one time when they got saved, and I'm not saying they lost salvation, but they're living the rest of their life in hurt and in turmoil. They're heavy laden. They're burdened. They're yoked up to wrong things. They're trying to find answers. So many scriptures say that they found grace. God's people found grace. God's people found grace. They didn't earn it. They didn't merit it. They found it. You got to get this. Grace was found. We can sing about it all day long, but until you find the grace of God, you won't ever experience it. For what you're in need of experiencing. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Used to sing a song about that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't just a song. It was found out of Genesis. Noah found grace. The Bible says Joshua found grace. The Bible says Joseph found grace. I don't know if you've ever heard a message like this in your life, but what I'm telling you is God's people got to learn how to find grace. We've got to get to a place where we access the grace that was accessed by the men of God of old. Bible teaches that you'll find grace in the sight of God. I had to go to at least one verse and just read this. Exodus 33, verse 12 says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you and I will give you rest.'" Now, the reason I picked this verse is because Moses found grace from God in his presence. He found it. He found grace in the presence of God. How do you access the presence of God? Jesus. That's how you access the presence of God. So we find grace by accessing who he sent so that we could. We're not under old law. We're in the new covenant, Jesus. And we access him by finding Jesus, not just for salvation, but every time we're in need of it. And what I want you to hear today in closing is once you find the grace, you get the byproduct. And the byproduct, it says there at the end of that passage, is rest. Rest for your soul. It's actually a Sabbath rest. And I don't have time to get into all of this today. You just have to come back. But it's a place where we cease from our own works because we've entered into his amazing grace. We've came to Jesus. We've yoked up with Jesus. We've learned of Jesus. And when we truly receive the grace of God and you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, Psalm 34, I mean, not because of what you've done. You have something that begins to affect not only your life, but when you access the grace of God, it starts affecting everybody else around you. I love this because God's people have to know that we can find his grace. You know, a symptom of you showing that you've received grace in your life is you become gracious. You're not that mean person anymore. You're gracious. A revelation of God's grace. You've tasted and seen God's goodness. And if you're truly receiving of the Lord, then you know that God is gracious. In Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30, it says that God is humble. Jesus says, I'm humble. And a lot of people don't see him as that. But that's who he is, because he's grateful to be in relationship with you. And sometimes we go, me? But I know me. Some of you are sitting there this morning going, yeah, I know me. I know me. And it would be hard to be in relationship with me because I know what I think. I know what I do. And God still wants to be in relationship with you, even though he knows everything about you. You just have to access his grace, and it'll give you the power to get past your past. It'll give you the power. It'll give you what you're in need of. I don't know if this ministered to anybody this morning, but I think we miss this. I mean, there are so many people that are just mean. They're mad. They're upset. They're just looking at ways to condemn. They're not gracious, and they need to access the grace of God. But all they know is the law of God. Praise God, Jesus came, and we're not under that. I'm going to talk more about that next time. But I pray that that was a blessing to you, and you go out of here knowing God isn't playing hide and seek. You can find grace. You can find grace. And you don't just have to find it for salvation. You can find it for whatever you're trying to carry, whatever's burdening your life, whatever's, man, this is hurtful right now. What I'm telling you, the grace of God will put you into a place where you can be gracious. Not gracious for what you went through, but gracious for the answer of what you're going through. I know the one who is my redeemer, and I'm redeemed, praise God. I know what I got. Do you? Y'all stand with me this morning.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.